Welcome to Inspired By, the official podcast from National Mortgage Professional. Each episode, we bring you conversations with the most intriguing and thoughtful voices in the mortgage and housing industry. Wherever you are in your own journey, whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting out, we hope you'll be inspired by the stories and insights our guests share, just as we are. Bethany Williams Woodward of Dark Matter Technologies is a problem solver, a data-driven innovator, and one of NMP's 40 under 40 honorees. In this episode, we explore her journey from business analyst to director of data, how she's shaping AI readiness in the mortgage industry, and why she's passionate about creating tools that make life easier for lenders and borrowers alike. If you want to hear from someone at the forefront of mortgage technology, this is an episode you'll want to dive into.
Don't miss the biggest industry events with the Originator Connect Network, where you get top-tier speakers, unbeatable networking, and free NMLS classes. Elevate your career, connect with the best, and stay ahead of the game. Register for an event near you now at OriginatorConnectNetwork.com.
All right, so I am on here with Bethany Williams Woodward from Dark Matter Technologies, and I have two quick questions for you. One, Dark Matter Technologies is about one of the coolest names I've heard for many of the mortgage industry companies. And I'd love to know, like, how, if you know how they landed on that name. But two, like, what they do there, what you do there, and how you ended up there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do not know how we landed on Dark Matter Technologies as a name. That would be a question for our marketing team. But I do agree, it's pretty cool. We are a mortgage technology provider to mortgage banks. So we have a comprehensive suite of technology services that we provide, everything from our Empower LOS to our AVA suites of AI-enabled assistance, so docs, rules, processing, QC, and then as well as our BI platform. So, you know, we package all of that up to really provide an ecosystem of tech tools so that our lenders can go out and do what they do best, which is originate mortgages. I got involved in the party through a series of acquisitions and divestitures, as does happen in the mortgage industry quite frequently. So I like to say I've worked for three different companies, but one group of people, which is kind of a cool story that not a lot of people get to say. So I entered into the mortgage industry by becoming a business analyst at a company called Motivity. And shortly after I started, it was about a year after I started, we got acquired by Black Knight. And so we went from startup, you know, I think I was probably employee number 31 or something like that at Motivity. I went from startup to corporate and learned about speedboats and cruise ships and how they are different. They each have their own merits, but kind of got really into corporate mortgage technology with Black Knight. And then, you know, as plenty of people know, the Black Knight ICE merger resulted in the divestiture of kind of the originations components of Black Knight. And that is where Dark Matter came from. So I've gotten to progress my career with kind of the same core group of people over the last 10 years, but have, you know, different exposures to different business models and partnership with clients and vendors along the way. So it's been really cool.
And you had Black Knight and Dark Matter, two really cool names. So that's
and
awesome.
And then you mix them up and it's Black Matter, Dark Knight.
Nice. I like that. Well, it is great. Like, one of the things I'm sure that you're experiencing is this, you know, they, as much as it's a buzzword, the synergy of keeping the same team around and people being able to play off of each other. And it also means that, you know, you must be valuable. Right? Like, you bring this value as you move on. And you are, I mean, this podcast is about our 40 under 40. You're accomplishing a lot earlier in your career. When I look over what you've done and what I've read about, I'm fascinated. I'm always fascinated with people who are creators, makers, always looking to improve things. Because there's beauty in being a facilitator, and there's a lot of that in this industry. But finding people who are innovating and making, that to me is okay, you know, this is someone who's trying to transform something, make everything a little bit better, not just for themselves and for others. And so there's some real substance there. The number may be higher now, but I read that you had, you know, you were central to the development of 15 analytics tools. Where does that inspiration for innovation come from? Like that drive to, you know, because again, one can facilitate and do well doing that, but you want to do more than that. So tell us a little bit about that journey and what drives you.
Yeah. I think there's kind of two things. So, you know, when Simon Sinek did his initial inaugural TED Talk in 2009 about, you know, what is your why? That was one of the most transformative talks I've ever heard. And I was just starting college at the time, and it really kind of helped shape the way that I see my world and has had a big impact on my professional career as well. So, you know, when we talk about data, why is this data important? You know, that helps kind of drive what really I try to, you know, focus on, which is finding the intersection between what is possible and what is practical. It's possible to do a ton of stuff. And especially with data, you get into this like rabbit hole of, well, what is it, you know, when you get into continually asking why of the data, what drives your why? What are you after? You can get into some deep rabbit holes really fast. But what's practical about that? I mean, cool, we could slice and dice and split hairs all day about these things, but how do I apply that? So, you know, a great example, it's not AI specific or it's not data specific, it's more AI, but you know, AI has opened up a lot of possibilities for us, including, you know, me being Ant of the Year and creating a pink leopard driving a motorcycle for my nephews. And, you know, they love that. Is it practical? No, but it's the art of the possible. That's really fun to just kind of figure out where those two worlds merge. And then, you know, how do we help our clients achieve their goals through that intersection?
I love that phrase, art of the possible. And you're right. Like that is the where things are headed is this, okay, we've unearthed all of these possibilities. Which ones do we pursue? Because it seems to be almost infinite. Right. It has to be bring some practical use, some efficiencies, whatever it is, improve things for ourselves and for our customers.
Yep.
And that leads me into one of the other things you focused on in your 40 under 40 was you mentioning learning as being key to your career. And AI, clearly you have to stay on top of it. It's evolving so much faster. You know, are we on the exponential curve? And can we really see the exponential curve around us? You know, has anything like surprised you? Have you needed to pivot quickly? Is there something, some adaptation that you've had to make quickly on the fly as, you know, to make things, like we were saying, better for Dark Matter, but better for all of your clients?
The thing I think that has, it didn't surprise me per se, but I think the impact of it is a lot bigger than I think people are really giving it credit for. And that's AI readiness. So this statistic is now like 6 months old, but there's a statistic out there that said at the time, less than 10% of chief data and analytics officers had an AI readiness or an AI literacy initiative in their organization. And when you couple that with the fact that nobody even knew what ChatGPT, like the common person didn't know what ChatGPT was in before it hit the mainstream scene in 2022, to now the, you know, most recently, we're saying that at least 60% of everybody in the United States has tried ChatGPT or some sort of ChatGPT experience. And when you think about that where are we on that exponential curve? Are we? I don't even think we're on the blade of the hockey stick. You know, we still have so much more to go, and we're not ready. And so, you know, to the question of what surprised me is, I think the understanding of the implications of that. You know, we are in a spot where we don't want to just give the 16-year-olds the key to the Lamborghini and hope we're not filing an insurance claim because they crashed it coming out of the parking lot, right? And so it really is something that I try to find ways to evangelize and to help solve problems when it comes to whether it's how dark matter is talking about AI in the world or some of the products we're working on creating, or even internally when we're rolling out, how do we use a Microsoft Copilot or a ChatGPT within getting my day-to-day job done, is really understanding from an AI readiness perspective, you know, how do I drive that car? And, you know, helping others do the same.
So it feels like, you know, given what I know about dark matter, like it, and, you know, your background and what you're focused on, that you have the advantage of being on the tech side of things and the data side of things, which is obviously very connected to the power of what AI can offer. But how do you get ready? Have you found people receptive to your evangelicism? I'm ruining that word, but
evangelism. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, there we go. Evangelism, you're trying to convey that we're on that curve. How ready are we, I guess, is the question.
Sure. I think that question depends on who you ask. And, you know, like you said, tech people have a different perspective than the business people. But I think it really comes down to understanding the data. So the cool part about, you know, my whole journey is that my career has kind of evolved at the same time this whole AI thing has evolved. So, you know, I've had the benefit for the last 10 years of really understanding data and data quality and core data principles and, you know, working through mechanisms in which we evangelize that to clients. And, you know, we make products out of it and things like that. And so I see AI and I can help communicate about AI through the lens of data, which it's, you know, the data is the non-sexy part of AI, but it's the necessity. It's the underpinnings. So, you know, I think when it comes to are we ready or how do we help people get ready, I think different companies are on different stages of maturity, but it ties back to, you know, what is their maturity in their data and their data understanding, their data practices, data quality, all of those data governance things. There are companies that are in it, you know, they know they've got analysts and they've got engineers and they can fully staff it. And then there's other companies who are not as data driven. And so I think it's going to vary. That answer of are we ready is going to vary, you know, company by company and organization by organization. But a lot of it can be kind of derived from how they treat their data today. And then, you know, it's standard software rollout. I was in product, I was in implementations, which if you ever want to land yourself in a product role, just be really vocal about how the implementations can improve and then you'll become a product manager. So, but with implementations, you know, we talk to our clients about defining what success looks like, making sure that you're setting up your tools to be used within how they are intended to be used, and making sure that you have good metrics on tracking adoption and things like that. And, you know, that's just software implementation 101. And again, the more disciplined that companies are in that generally, you know, the better that they're going to be about AI adoption as well, is my perspective.
Yeah. And that's interesting. I keep picking up on different themes as I talk to our 40 under 40 and the ones, you know, and so those are people who are experiencing success, right? And this concept of data and being able to use it and being able to track it and, you know, being on top of what's working, what's not, how to make things more efficient so that they can better help the people that they're trying to serve. Our 40 under 40, they know this. That's how they're able to progress, how they're able to rise up, and so it's powerful what you're doing, and the tools that you're giving people to do that. And it's such an interesting intersection. This whole industry is such the combination of a whole lot of data, a whole lot of information, a whole lot of, you know, forms and all the rest of it, a whole chunk of impersonal information that is very personal while being impersonal, being numbers and whatnot. But then the human side of it, where you are trying to like get people into homes and you're trying to connect with them and understand their wants and needs and goals and dreams. And so that intersection it felt very much, the more people I talk to, it's like, I want all the tools that I need and using AI and other things to be able to take care of all of that data so that I can focus on the human piece.
Yep.
And you know, it sounds like you're right there, right in the middle of it, trying to help people with that, which is powerful.
Yeah.
And that's what leads me to another question, which, you know, that idea that you mentioned being the voice of the customer, in your responses, and thinking through like, what do they need? Why do they need it? How can I give that to them? Tell me about that. Like, how does that manifest in sort of your daily existence at Dark Matter?
Sure. Yeah. I think the cool thing, you know, like I said, I landed myself in my stint in product was because I advocated for the voice of the customer from my perspective in implementations, right? And before that, I was in account management. So, you know, my whole career has been really focused on customer need and customer want, and I've just been able to address it in different stages. And, you know, when I was in implementations, it was, okay, let's dial in your configurations. Was I was in product, it was, well, these five clients all have this same issue, or these 50 clients are all experiencing this same thing. Let's fix the product so that we're not having to do it in one off. And, you know, now that I have, you know, kind of the oversight of all of the data as the director of data here at Dark Matter, being able to continue to have that client touch base, but really incorporate it more at a strategic level, so that it can have, you know, even a bigger impact. And with my team, you know, reminding them that feedback loop between us and the client, no matter how far you're removed from like that individual contributor role, is still so incredibly important to make sure that at the end of the day, we're all trying to do the same thing. We want to get people into homes, however we can support in that process. You know, it still is a part of the American dream is to have that little house with the white picket fence and 2.2 kids and your golden retriever or whatever, right? So we all want to be a part of that, however our skill sets allow us. And the only way to do that is to just listen, make a decision on the feedback, and listen again and adjust any way you got to adjust, to keep pushing towards that goal.
That's amazing. I always like when people have that big picture perspective where it's like, it's very easy to, you know, put on the blinders and focus on the work that's right in front of us, but that helping people with that dream, that's what gives meaning to it all. Right.
Yeah.
Is there a tool or a product or a strategy that you're particularly proud of that you've contributed to, you know, you feel like was particularly effective, or something that you're dreaming up now that you can't tell us about, that is on the horizon that you think is pretty darn cool?
The things I can talk about, the things that, you know, when I look back about it, what we've been able to do, you know, the team that I've worked with and what we've been able to bring to market. There were some pretty complex problems that we, you know, were able to sit down and solve, one of them being our fee suite, you know, to really help lenders identify based off of the fees that are, the fees that they're disclosing. And then at the closing table, these are the fees that we're paying. And, you know, some of them they have to cure. Some of them, if they are over the amount, they are on the hook for that amount. And lenders, they're losing, you know, sometimes it's $10 a loan, sometimes it's thousands of dollars a loan or tens of thousands of dollars a loan. I mean, some of the tax implications of property taxes in New York are insane, right? And they change overnight. And then all of a sudden, if you don't redisclose, you're on the hook for that $40,000 property tax cure, right? So it was a really... Man, it was a tough project, a tough problem to solve, to get into the data, to understand the regulations, the implications, all of the compliance and regulatory is the intersection of probably all of the most complicated things you could find in a mortgage loan. And you just condense it down into a dashboard. And we did it. And it's been really cool to see, you know, clients look at it, to see value, to see, hey, we're constantly curing our document cost for this particular page for this particular document type, because we think it's only 15 pages. And when we go print it at public records, then that's, you know, $1.50, but in all reality, it's 50 pages. And so now we're looking at $5, and then you add that over 10,000 loans, and then, you know, it all snowballs, right? And That was probably one of, you know, the most fun dashboards that I've been a part of creating and solving that problem. You know, I think when I think about all the things we have in our R&D lab when it comes to data and AI at Dark Matter, obviously all of that stuff isn't stuff that we're able to talk about yet. But the thing that excites me about it is just the ability in which it's going to give our clients the opportunity to get them the information they need to solve the problems that they need to solve when they need to solve it. Because half the time, you know, you're going through the loan process and then all of a sudden, you know, something that you could have identified 6 days ago pops up and then it derails the whole thing. But if you could have been aware of it 6 days ago when it was a smaller issue, you know, you could have closed that loan earlier, right? Or been more efficient, less conditions, whatever you want to say. And I think that that's one of the things, one of the my hope is that if we have this conversation in 2 years or in a year and a half, then, you know, that would be on my list of, you know, how did we solve that problem? Don't know what it looks like yet, but we're definitely in the lab figuring it out.
That's cool. It's data-driven problem solving.
Yeah.
It's, you know, in the end, you just picture that person at the other end of it. You may never hear it, but somebody's saying like, damn, this is good. Like that saved our tails. And yeah, and you just got to listen in the ether for those comments to filter back to you some way, somehow.
Yeah.
But I'm going to leave you with one last question. And you brought it into the conversation and I'm fascinated. Moving forward, and because this is inevitably a question we ask of our 40 under 40s, it's like, okay, you've got a long stretch ahead of you. What is your why for that, for the time up ahead? Where do you go from here? And, you know, what's the why that's driving you? Is it the same? Has it evolved? Has it changed?
Yeah, I think, you know, the why, whether it's personal or professional for me, is to encourage and empower people to be the best version of themselves that they can be. And so, you know, at work, that looks like helping our team make tools that help our lenders serve our borrowers. How that manifests, that could be a lot of different ways, right? Like a natural progression for a career for me would be, you know, to end up in some sort of chief data and analytics officer role where I can continue to take that why and apply it to the problems that are relevant to that day, right? Because different day, different problems, right? But, you know, if I can make my virtual commute from my, I work out of my cousin's house, so I do work down the street, but it's a lot less than having an office across the city like I used to. But, you know, if I close out of my computer at the end of the day, and whether it's having a great conversation with a teammate or talking to, you know, other members on my staff, where did we figure out a way to just be a little bit better, make life a little bit easier, do things a little bit quicker, or just, you know, up the vibes. At some point, you just have to, like, did we just encourage each other that, like, hey, this is a rough day and we're going to get through it, but, like, we'll be better people for it. You know, that's ultimately what I'm after. You know, that's what I want to feel like at the end of every day.
All right. Well, that's fantastic and a great place to end off here. I thank you for coming on and sharing your thoughts with our listeners. Thank you again for, you know, I mean, and, you know, all honor to you for being one of our 40 under 40. You earned it. I look forward to keeping tabs and seeing what you and Dark Matter are up to.
Awesome. Thanks, Andy. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to Inspired By from National Mortgage Professional. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation and found ways to connect what our guests shared with your own life and career. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, follow us on social media, and head over to NMP's website to sign up for our weekly issue. We'll be back soon with more inspiring guests and valuable insights. Until next time, be well.